So, thank you very much for all morning today, too. Thank you.
No, sorry about my little, delay.
You got it done. Everything's great. I appreciate it. It's good to have you here. It's 10 after 9 in Cleveland with Flanagan and Malone. Wish I could say the same for everybody. But, you know, it's good to have you here, too, Jim.
Hey, thank you, man.
It worked out very
well
today.
Thank you so much, man.
Chip's gone, and I believe back on Monday, and you're gone Monday.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Tracy's back.
Tracy's back on.
Yeah.
This is that time of year. You know how vacations go.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Everybody goes, do you have vacations? I mean, I'm not sure how you'd know when you're on vacation.
You know what? I mix my vacations in with my, like, I'm going out to L.A. The end of this month because I'm playing Sacramento, the California State Fair. So I'll go to L.A. to see my kids.
Yeah.
So I incorporate the, get a free trip.
The Sacramento State Fair.
The California State Fair. Did I say Sacramento? It's in Sacramento.
It's Sacramento,
California State Fair. Right.
Who else will be on the bill at the California State? I mean, that's California, for God's sake. It's
Badfinger. Remember Badfinger?
Badfinger.
Joey Mullen,
okay.
And Badfinger. Cannibal and the Headhunters are on this one. Jay and the Americans.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. There's a few. It's like a six-act thing.
How many songs will you do in a show like that?
I'll do 20 minutes in a show like that.
20 minutes, which is what, three songs, four songs?
Yeah, four or five songs.
Yeah.
It's easy. You know, they pay you to travel.
Right.
When you do that.
Do you have four or five big hits you can do?
Well, you could do, everybody does somebody else's song, one or two.
Whose songs do you do?
I like to do Pat Upton's song, More Today Than Yesterday, from The Spiral Staircase.
The Spiral Staircase.
I love that song.
You ever do any Joe Tex?
You know what? When we first started, when the Outsiders first started, my first group, we used to open up with, show me a man that's got
okay.
a good woman.
Yeah, right.
I think we have the Buckinghams on the line.
Dennis is there. Yeah.
Dennis.
Dennis, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm not the Buckinghams.
That's right. They can't hear you.
I don't have enough headphones.
What to do. You're the former lead singer of the Buckinghams.
That's it.
That's the way I got to say it now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
The former lead singer of the Buckinghams.
The former original.
Original.
Lead singer.
You know, you got to watch that stuff.
The Buckinghams.
This is what you got to do. I mean, in today's, you know, you can't use this, you can't use that, what you can say, what you can't say. Right, Dennis? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm the former lead singer and former guy who used to go to high school.
It's been a long time since you went to high school. Don't give me that.
I don't think there was high school when I went. We just went to a trailer.
Really? I see. Yeah. Like a log cabin out west, and you killed Indians and got to work.
Well,
I'm sure.
I never did that. I never had a motorcycle, but. I just wanted to address a little question that you were working on before about the hits. You
yeah,
know?
Who had the most hits, you or Sonny?
Well, you know, when you're talking to a couple of Italian guys,
I'm sorry.
Because Sonny said he had tremendously more hits than Dennis.
Oh, yeah, he said he had a much bigger success rate.
I'm bringing my knife with me tomorrow, Dennis.
Uh-huh. I'm talking to Joey Gallo here today with his.
Hits were the same size.
Yeah. I went through and I looked and I found some of the hits, and there's a number of them in our playlist for the...
Oh, yeah.
We had more because we were a little older, I think.
He said you were a lot older.
Yeah, but you never know it. You never know.
I think he said he had a bigger sock that he carried around with him than you did, though.
No, that's Eric.
Eric has a sock. I see.
Yeah, I have to say that Sonny, I think, dressed a little bit more flamboyant.
Really? Yeah, the Buckinghams were kind of conservative, weren't they?
Yes, we were very conservative, yes.
Where'd you come from?
We came from Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were, I was being dressed up in suits and ties at my christening.
Oh.
You know, so... So pretty much we were always dressing up in Chicago, and the Buckinghams kind of became known as very clean cut and everything. We dressed up a lot, but we didn't go too crazy. But I know that Sonny had some very interesting outfits.
And those guitar cases with the Buckinghams didn't contain guitars.
Yeah.
They didn't?
No.
Well, they have.
Machine guns.
No.
They're from Chicago, man. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you both had a lot of hits, and you're going to be performing what, tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night with Sonny, then. Okay.
With Sonny and
that's
and
right. Mason's
band.
Tonight.
Great band. We've been doing this quite often. It seems to be it's a couple of Italian guys that got together and thought they'd sing together. And it really well.
Well, good. That's great. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The new
it's
Red Pick.
Streetsboro, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Right near you, Jim.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's a great little town.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's at the corner of Kirby Lane and Route 303.
Streetsboro City Park.
Mm-hmm. Streetsboro City Park. That's great. Well, I hope there's a lot of... I'm sure. I assume there'll be food and all that kind of things to go with the whole thing. You like to eat. What made you come back and do it again? You've been doing other things. What brought you back into doing it again?
Well, I kind of, back in the mid-70s, I kind of walked away from the music a little bit because it was a little bit confusing. You know, you get a little bit, go from the rock and roll, and then I did three albums with Carl Giammarisi on Old Records as a songwriting duo. But in the mid-70s, it just kind of got a little thin as far as making a living and getting records out there because the music was changing again in the 70s. Actually, some people even say it disappeared in the 70s for a while. But I kind of stepped back and got, I was always interested in acting and writing and directing, and I kind of got into a field there for about 15 years of doing that. And which I still participate in a lot, and but I kind of got hit again when I about 4 years ago when I discovered a whole of treasure trove of music from Bobby Darin, and I put together a show which is not really a typical tribute show. It's more of a theatrical, legitimate theater kind of piece, which is all the music of Bobby Darin, and I just kind of take you down the road. It's kind of like a musical documentary.
That's got to be fun.
Yeah, that's a body of work that you just can't ignore, and that kind of got me back into singing. I've been looking for something to sing for about 20 years, and as you know, lead singers can't go out there and go jam in clubs like guitar players. You know, go in there and sing some ooh-ah-wahs and stuff. That doesn't work too
well. No, doesn't really.
So you know, I found this to sing, and I came out there singing again, and then because of that, I did this PBS DVD that Sonny's on also for the our generation, the 60s. And because I went up and did that and sang the hits from the old days, the phone started ringing for me to come back and start singing.
Good for you.
You know, and then that worked out really well because I do a lot of it with Sonny and his band, and I couldn't ask for anybody better to work with.
Well, he could ask. He's just not. He's not going to. He's going to be a gentleman. But yeah.
Wait a minute. I was just trying to let that one go.
Well, I could. He lobbed it up there. I couldn't.
Who else could that. You possibly ask for that would be better to work with?
That's right,
Sonny.
Sometimes it's kind of a drag, huh? Yeah. Sometimes it's kind of a drag.
Kind of a drag. Yeah. Yeah. I say kind of. But anyway, you came back.
That was what you said in the email, right, Sonny?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Just like he told you to say it. It's got to be a good feeling though, to look out and see so many faces that remember the music. Who would have thought when this all started out? I mean, when this music first came around, it was kind of a fun thing. A lot of the acts decided to get out of it and go in to get a real job and all that. But eventually it was like, this is the music of our life. It hasn't gone away.
It's
I don't
amazing.
Care where you grew up or who you were part of all that music.
Can you believe that we're still working after all these years?
I can't believe that you're still working.
I can't believe that I'm still alive, man. Dennis, did you plan on living this long? I know I didn't.
He would have taken better care of himself, I think, if he didn't know he was going to live this long. But who knew? I mean, nobody had a clue we were going to still be listening to and enjoying this. Hell, the PBS keeps it alive, and they have tons of people that show up for these shows and watch it and sit in the audience and enjoy it.
Do you think that's unique, Sonny, or Dennis, or do you will people 40 years from now listen to Britney Spears or Kanye West?
Everybody thinks that their music, I don't know if Dennis, if you agree with me, but everybody thinks that their music that they grew up with is the music.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, I don't know, a 16-year-old kid today, what they like, they're going to probably... It'll bring back memories to them.
I think that's a great question, though. Yeah. I don't think it will.
No, it's that bad.
Honestly, no. I just don't see the Britney Spears of the day. I can't wait till I'm 80 years old and go, I remember that when she first said, "Hit me again," or whatever. I don't remember.
Some of you know, like Alicia Keys, maybe I could see her being popular.
Absolutely.
With her group 40 or something, but some of them never. And the gangster, I can't imagine a 60-year-old guy listening to gangster rap from his youth.
I can't either.
I think Britney Spears is an example of like, she's visual. Mm-hmm. It's visual. So for 30 years from now, I really don't want
to
watch.
That's probably a great answer to it, though.
Yeah.
Same way with the Madonna, who is an extremely visual act, and the songs never meant that much to me. Kind of a drag, or Hey Baby, or some of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Those had an impact
Absolutely.
On me. I really like that sound.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? That music from the 60s, and this has been coming up a lot at the shows, too. The music in the 60s was unfettered, if I could use a big word.
Yeah.
Unfettered. And I don't know if either of you have been unfettered, but boy.
Explain it to Sonny, because he's looking
for. I've never been fettered, but I'm looking for.
I'll go into a ticket if I'm unfettered ever. But it's music that was, it was simple. It was, you can hear everything. You can hear all the instruments. You can hear the melody. You can understand the story.
Yeah.
And it was a very uncomplex time. You know, I mean, it was like, there wasn't that many bands. There wasn't this media onslaught to make everybody a superstar. Everybody had a chance to actually step up and hit the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you hit the ball and you got on base, you stayed in the game. And that was a lovely thing about the 60s. And that music seems to go together so well. The songs of the 60s do not fight each other.
Yeah. And it was,
and if you remember back in the 60s, it was still called popular music. Everything was on the charts. Frank Sinatra, Kind of a Drag, Prez Prado. I mean, there was like
Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley, everybody, Froddy and Teicher.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right.
He was on the charts.
I used to listen to those guys.
Who, Froddy and Teicher?
Yeah, I loved their music.
Well, you're a great piano player.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah.
What was their big hit?
I don't remember. I just had a couple of their albums and thought it was cool. I don't know.
I think it was Thing from the Apartment was a huge one by Froddy and Teicher.
It's all instrumentals, right?
Yeah, all instrumental. Yeah. It was two guys that played piano.
Right.
Well, it's good to talk to you. You'll be there tomorrow night with Sonny playing your hits. It'll be a much longer set, I assume, because of that.
Because they're big hits.
Yeah, you had lots of big hits.
The long hits.
Long hits. Actually, one of the reasons we liked your songs, they were about 2 minutes.
Yeah, right. That's what the DJs love.
That's right. 2 minutes long, and then went back to another song. And then, of course, the guys that got the big hits after that were the ones like Jimmy Webb, who came along and wrote a 7-minute song so we could go to the bathroom.
Right.
All right. Hey, listen, it's great to talk to you this morning. Tomorrow night, it'll be a lot of fun. Have a great time.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks
see you tomorrow, Dennis.
To me. Okay,
see
this is
later.
It. Here's Kind of a Drag.
Yeah.
Fun to hear this.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue. Oh, listen to what I gotta say. Girl, I still love you.
I still love you.
I'll always love you.
I'll always love you.
Anyway. Kind of a drag when your baby says goodbye. Kind of a drag when you feel like you wanna cry. Oh, girl, even though you made me feel good, I still love you.
Mockingham, Kind of a Drag, great song. Dennis, what's his last name?
Tofano.
Dennis Tofano of the Buckinghams out of Chicago. That record never had a... tell the story again.
I just was saying that, you know, it's very unusual. They had a number one hit with that song and they weren't signed to a label.
How could you... See, my question is, how could you have a number one hit if you had no label? I thought it had to be distribution.
He was getting it everywhere. He was on a label, but when that thing wasn't doing anything, the label folded. So then the song finally came out and took off and there was no more label. So Jim Guercio, who had Chicago, the group Chicago, the group Blood, Sweat, and Tears, he got a hold of them. He was from Chicago and brought them over to Columbia and says, hey, I got the group, the Buckinghams are the number one record in the country, and they're not signed to anybody. And he made a deal with, I mean, what label's
How
not going
to... How did people who bought it get a hold of it if he didn't have a label before? I guess what I'm getting at.
What do you mean? What's that?
How did somebody buy it? I mean, if he didn't have a label, if there was no label...
No, he said it was a label.
But it folded.
But it folded. They weren't signed to anybody.
You're right.
So they were free to go. Now, if you got the number one record in the country and you can go, you can name your price. You can, and what label's not going to sign a group
right.
with the number
okay,
one
so
record?
This was after the number one hit. Let's get some more stuff and sign it for
who
them.
Who collected the money for them while the label was folded?
Well, you know what, Jimmy? That's a whole other story for another day. You're talking about a lot of hit records and a lot of little bit of money.
Yeah.
Who got screwed the worst that you know of?
The Beatles.
The Beatles?
Mm-hmm.
For music and money and all that.
Absolutely, but they made so much money.
Yeah.
that they're living fine. They were living fine, but they got screwed completely.
Yeah. Really?
Sure. Absolutely. Everybody did. Chad, remember Chad and Jeremy, people mm-hmm. like that? They told
oh, sure.
me nobody made. They didn't. They got screwed. Everybody got beat out of their money. Everybody.
That's
too bad. It was a
Chad Jeremy
time.
And Bethel a number of times. They had one of my all-time favorite songs about Zanzibar that's still not on an album, but just an absolutely great song. I love to hear it. But, yeah, a lot of people did, I guess, and they took advantage of it because you just wanted to go into it, have a little fun as a kid, and probably get out of it and move on with your life.
That's exactly right. Nobody knew it was going to last forever and that there was all these royalties and all this different kind of thing. Nobody knew except the people that were signing you. They knew. And
okay.
You were probably getting... Without going into detail, I would imagine other perks at that time that you were going like, this is pretty good right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A ride in a limousine,
yeah.
A gold record, and a pat on the back, and take care of your dinner. And
the
all
girls loved you.
Right. Yeah.
So you thought, well, 18 years old.
Right. Money, too. I didn't know that.
did the black artists get screwed worse even than the white artists?
Well, I tell you what, I talked to, you guys know Sam Moore.
Yeah,
Sam
right, did. Right.
And he was up here the last time. He was
oh, what a great guy, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He told me stories about the old days and unbelievable. I could tell you things about the people that produced him, Steve Cropper, people like that. He's told me stories about that. He produced all Otis Redding, mm-hmm. Steve Cropper. He did all that stuff, and Sam's told me so many stories that I could tell you off the air. But
if you look at the movie Cadillac Records, which was about the Cadillac Records and the guy that had Cadillac Records and all the artists that he had huge black artists.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't really give them any money. If they said anything, he'd give them a Cadillac.
Exactly.
Here's a Cadillac. You'll be happy with that.
Exactly.
Oh, I got a Cadillac convertible. I'm doing really great.
That's you're happy.
But he was keeping all the money.
That's the Supremes. Go back to when the Supremes were big, and they were just getting a salary every week, you know.
Man.
And, you know, they were happy.
It probably seemed like a lot at the time, but they were making a fortune for somebody else with their talent.
Barry Gordy.
Yeah, Barry Gordy. All right. Hey, it's good to have you here this morning.
Thank you, John. Thank
Watch
you,
for him tomorrow night. Streetsboro is going to be the corner of Kirby Lane and Route 303. Tonight, tomorrow...
Tonight is Dave Mason. Tomorrow is Sonny Geraci and Dennis Stefano.
Good. All right, so there's two great nights of entertainment. You'll have a good time. Lots of music and fun and food and all of that. And Streetsboro, it's a fun place to hang out.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Nice to have you guys here.
Thank
have a great
you.
Day.
You too.
We'll be back in a minute. WMJI Magic 105.7. It's okay. I got to do one for Sonny also, since we did Buckingham's music. Here's probably their most famous outsider song. This is Time Won't Let Me.
Forever, even though he wants me to, I can't wait forever to know if you'll be true. Time won't let me. Time won't let me.
Outsiders and this time won't let me. They'll be together tomorrow night. It'll be a lot of fun. Streetsboro. So if you want a place to go tomorrow night and see some great music, Dennis and the Buckinghams, and of course Sonny on his own with Precious and Few and all their other hits that he's had, will make for a great evening out. All right, Webwinch is here and ready to go. Good morning.
Good morning.
WMJI.com.
We've got so much stuff up today that I'm only going to be able to talk about the highlights.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
First off, we've got booze culture.
Booze?
Yeah.
Culture?
According to the Public Accounts Committee in the UK, people really do not know the current recommended daily limits for the units of alcohol and what can happen if you drink in excess. So there's a bunch of funny pictures in the article.
What your friends will do to you while you're passed out drunk, basically,
exactly.
Is what it is.
Oh.
The one guy is completely green. They painted him green.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
There's a guy on a couch that's been completely...
Duct taped
to the couch.
Yeah.
Booze culture.
Yeah. Those are your friends. What your friends will do to you.
Real friends.
Yeah. We've also got...
Fell asleep. They stuck cigarettes out of his mouth, his nose, everything.
We've also got a super yacht that looks like a killer whale.
And that thing goes $98 million, I believe it was.
Yeah.
$98 million?
Yeah.
It's
Who
really
did
cool
it?
Looking.
You know?
It's going to be in Britain, I believe, and it's only planned. I don't know if it's...
Yes, it's a phenomenal because they have that, and another one's even more expensive, and they're saying that they have the plans for it, and they want to build it, and that is a... It looks
it's huge.
Yeah, and it looks like a killer whale.
It looks like, it does from the front, from the picture we have, pretty much like a killer whale.
Yep. Right. We've also got 15 billboards that don't belong together.
Okay.
My favorite is a carrot.
Those are great.
Yeah, those are the good ones.
The
those
carrot.
Are great. Yeah.
This is these are two, one on top of the other. The top one said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. That's the top billboard. Below that is Big Jim's Booby Bungalow. That's exit 6 in Tennessee. Truck park and food daily specials. You know what? I'm going to the Booby Bungalow.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to the righteously exalted.
You're a sinner.
I'm going to the Booby Bungalow.
You're a sinner.
All right,
you're
good.
Also, we've got a picture that made the news. A father was holding his baby at the Texas Rangers game and caught a fly ball.
With the baby?
Clutching the baby.
In one hand and the fly ball in the other.
Yeah.
Not exactly the safest thing in the world for the baby, but...
Okay.
No, I've also got a cool video. It's called It's the Rain Orchestra. It sounds like rain. They start clicking their fingers and stuff, and it's really cool. You got to watch it.
Really?
Yeah, and that Kristen in Bay Village sent that one in.
Yeah. Thanks, Kristen.
And then the...
Here, I'll give you a quick little preview of that one.
Yeah. Oh, you got
this
a preview?
This is just a part of it.
This is of the music.
They don't, like, play instruments, I guess, so much as snap their fingers and hit their hands and stuff. It's just a part of it.
Where it makes music.
They're starting up the thunderstorm here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Waiting for the music.
Oh, wait a minute.
Here we go.
Over here, they altered that again.
Oh, there it is. Sounds like you started Little Darling by the Diamonds.
I don't know why they wanted to make rain, but...
just people using their hands.
Yeah.
You know, those people can get very annoying after a while.
Yeah, it's a minute and a half, basically.
Yeah.
So
you're going to get really tired of those people after a little while.
Yeah.
Tell them to stop it with the rain outside.
Yeah, they just follow you around and do that all the time.
Drive you absolutely nuts.
It's like, what was that guy that did the dance, the Lord of the Flatbush or something? I forgot what it was. After a while, it's like, man.
Got a little tired of it.
The video of the day is a 5-year-old boy playing Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Folsom Prison Blues, years old.
Yeah, he hears that twain a-coming. That's how he sings. It's really cute. It's really cute.
I gotta hear that.
And then the weird fix pick of the day is terrifying, and the one on the right is pretty scary, too.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that's strange.
Weird pick.
Strange stuff.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
WMJI.com and Landing
in
the Malone.
Pretty scary. One of them has makeup and one doesn't.
Yeah.
You can figure that one out.
Right.
Okay.
Good stuff, Winch.
Thank you.
That's just the top of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg
That's
or whatever.
Right.
There's lots of stuff out right now. All right. So you got to go take a look at it. You'll have a lot of fun. I got to tell you, I love the holding hands, the swimming.
The otters. Is that the cutest thing ever?
Otters.
I know you'd hate it, but it's really cute. Even you, with your cold heart, would think it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's two little otters just laying floating around, and one's got his hand over the other one, the hands that are up there on the otters, and they're just kind of holding on as they float around. It's just absolutely great.
You have a video of Otto Orpheus on the show. Maybe you have a video of him holding hands.
We don't have Otto floating around.
They float apart, and then the one realizes that the other one has floated away, and all of a sudden they start floating back together, and he reaches his hand out.
So he's obviously not named Chip. We know that.
All right, but it was very nice. I liked it a lot.
It's very,
very
cute. Sometimes we're lots.
Some people don't appreciate that type of thing. Right. Some people do.
I try to do a good mix.
I know you do. You do a good job. All right, 20 before 10.
When you were a
Flanagan Malone, WMJI, Magic 105.7. 33% of song lyrics from country to rap to rock contain drug and alcohol references. 33% of them contain drug or alcohol references. University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, the doctors there, analyzed the lyrics to 279 best-selling songs. When you say, will they be remembered like the songs that we grew up with, I don't think they will. Mm-hmm. They took the lyrics of 279 best-selling songs from 2005 in rap, country, rhythm and blues, rock and pop to try to find out how many references there were to drugs and alcohol. Rap, 77%. Had drug and alcohol references.
Wow, okay.
77%. Country dropped down to 37%. They had some sort of drug, probably mainly alcohol. R&B and hip-hop, 20%. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Rock, 14%. And pop only had 9% drugs and alcohol references throughout the songs. But rap had 77% references to drugs and alcohol throughout the songs.
Hmm.
Lots of references to drugs and alcohol. And I can't help but think that if kids are listening to that and idolizing it and driving around with it turned up, they have to be influenced by hearing it over and over again.
I thought this, and I think the same thing, but when I talk to people and I ask them about that, they say that the lyrics are almost like in the background and they don't even know what they are.
They don't
listen. I just can't believe that.
It's still hard for me to say, look, I know they're in the background, but you're still, even subconsciously, you're hearing continuously a referral of drugs and alcohol of one kind or another.
Or shoot the cops or something. They're freaks out there. I don't get it.
I don't either. All right, Lanigan Malone, WMJI, Magic 105.5. Seven lines are open if you want to call about anything. What have you got?
I got a really interesting story I came across yesterday about flight attendants and how their life is today compared to what it used to be like. And one flight attendant they were talking to said her mother was a flight attendant, and when her mom was a flight attendant years ago, she used to wear white gloves and serve lobster Thermidor, and now she's wearing rubber gloves, and instead of lobster Thermidor, she's trying to put handcuffs on passengers. And they were saying how difficult their job is. It's not the glamour job that it used to be. They work up to 14 hours of days at a time on domestic routes, even longer on international trips, and they said that they often battle hunger because airlines have eliminated so much food for short flights. There's no food for them either.
God.
And then they're trying to turn the plane around so quickly that they don't have time to run off the plane and get food. Now, here's something I did not know. You might have already known this. They fly 70 to 100 hours a month, but they're only paid when the plane's engines are running. So they receive no compensation for one of the hardest parts of their job, the boarding process.
Right.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
And she was saying it's now more aggravating than ever. Passengers bring more carry-on bags to avoid paying fees. They have confrontations and delays. She said the flight attendant they interviewed said that situation is out of control. And she also says that frustrated passengers take it out on the crew. They're always complaining, even though they try to create a friendly atmosphere. They say you don't realize how many times you stand there smiling at people as they board, and they just ignore you or get rude to you anyway. So I guess they figured the hell with it, and the passengers saying no one cares. And that is, I'm because I used to think of the flight attendant in the old days was like glamour job, see the world.
It was,
and not now, man. That's
and
tough.
I saw an AOL yesterday. I'm looking at some stories. They said airlines are now starting to go toward trying to hire hotties.
Okay.
For airline, trying to go back to, it used to be that they were pretty sharp, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty hot looking women. They're trying to go back, which means we're going to basically discriminate against a lot of people who maybe have had a career in it for a long time while they try to find somebody young and trim and hot looking to put up there to be that front person that you see.
Yeah.
I had no idea they didn't get paid when I get on. I always try to smile and say hi to whoever's standing there as I come on. And many times I know who they are and they'll say, hi, John.
Yeah.
They're Cleveland based crew. I see them a lot. Continental is right here and a good deal of the time. time, they'll say hi to you. And I would go out of my way anytime I could to try to be nice to the people on a plane. There may have been a few times it didn't work that way, but 99% of the time, one of them may have helped save Little Bit's life one time. Okay. I mean, she was so cooperative when Little Bit had an attack on a plane that she was doing everything she could to help out. Kosar's out there, I'm sure. I can't think of the first name now, but her last name's Kosar. Lovely girl, absolutely lovely. Had a great time. I've had great flights because of flight attendants. If you're nice to them, they can make your stay even better.
Yeah, and it takes work to be mean to people, so you might as well be nice and make... it really takes a lot of work, I think.
It does?
Yeah, to be mean to people.
Pretty easy.
No, I think it takes more work to be mean than it does to be nice.
Easy for me all morning.
Well, yeah.
13 before 10, WMJI.
At Monroe Muffler Break-In Service, we've heard every excuse why people didn't get their oil changed.
I'm too busy.
Heard it.
The dog's got the car.
That's new, but it's still no excuse.
But I'm too busy.
Monroe has extended evening hours, even Saturday and Sunday.
But it's expensive.
Not at Monroe. With Monroe's Oil Change and More, $19.99 gets you an oil change with a new filter. Plus, we rotate your tires and inspect your brakes for free. Visit us at monro.com.
WMJ. What was that? WMJI Magic 105.7. We haven't talked much about the big summit, the beer summit, yesterday, but it was a huge thing. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to have heard the conversation. I really would.
Okay.
They'd invited Joe Biden in. I know you're trying to stay away from this.
I'm just saying, I don't... what could they have said that you would have really cared about?
This is a very big story. I would like to have heard how they tried to spin this whole thing to the cop in particular. But I thought it was nice at the end. A lot of people haven't reported that Al Gore was also there.
I didn't know that.
He was the one who picked up all the bottles and took them out for recycling.
Excellent.
Somebody had to do that.
All right.
And he was thinking ahead. The man got it. WMJI, Magic 105.7. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You touched a little bit about that beer summit, whatever they want to call it, that went on yesterday.
Right.
I don't know. I'm getting a bad impression of Obama, the way he handled this whole thing.
Why?
Well, I think he just sort of stayed out of it until he knew all the facts about it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. But a lot of people have said that. He should have stayed out of it. Even if he knew the facts, he should have stayed out of it. That's not really a presidential subject. I'm sorry.
Category, yes.
But he did get asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot you can do besides say, look, I don't have all the facts.
Really? You don't have to comment on it whatsoever until he knows what he's talking about.
I agree. All right, thanks.
I don't want to defend him too much, because I agree he should have stayed out of it. I think part of the fact that Gates and him were friends made him think, I got to speak up for my friend, and he should have waited until he knew the facts and should have... I'm with you. I would have said, this is not
and
for me at all.
And it's interesting. They're trying to say now, and Ann Coulter did this yesterday, or the day before on a morning show. Ann Coulter said it was a set-up question, that it was already planted for her to ask him that question, which is a total lie. Okay? Yeah. Coulter, you're a complete liar. The gal that asked the question did a whole thing yesterday on AOL that said, look, I work here, and here's the whole story. I didn't ask anybody to do this question. Nobody asked me to do the question. Nobody said anything to me. I was going to be called on. I stood up and asked the question.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the administration saying, ask that question. Absolute lie.
Hmm.
So two people have come out now. I can't remember the other lady's name. And she said, oh, absolutely, it was set up. No, it was not set up. That's an interesting thing to try to do. And Coulter, you're full of crap, as you usually are, that this is absolutely a set-up question. It was known in advance, and they'd asked her to say that. Not true at all. So, for what it's worth, they asked a question. He got caught off guard, and you're going to make mistakes when you're the president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's not very old. He's a young guy. He hasn't had a lot of experience. I mean, this is a new area for him.
And he should have saved the beer summit, because he's going to make a much bigger mistake than the one this will... It's not
absolutely
that big. He's going to make another one and say, man, I should have saved the beer summit for this one.
Yeah. The beer summit's kind of a cute idea. I think it's given this thing too many legs.
Yeah.
To continue to draw attention. And I don't know how you're going to cause those two people to like each other. It's not going to happen. They don't like each other.
And they should have, like I say, they should have either gotten together on their own or just said, forget it.
I feel sorry for that poor lady that made the 911 call. This poor lady that made the call thinking there was something maybe going on, wasn't sure, called it in, never said anything about Black or anybody else going into that house. She said she had had death threats.
That's ridiculous.
She's had people threaten her.
She should have been invited,
call
too.
And scream at her.
Yeah. And she should have been there so Gates could thank her and say, hey, thanks for looking out.
Absolutely. Your home was broken into once before, and she said, I don't know, I'm walking by. She was scared. She said, people threaten me.
That's ridiculous.
Look what you did. You're the one who caused all this. From a simple 911 call that nobody in their right mind would think would amount to a hill of beans.
Right.
I'm in some suburb in Cambridge. I make a call to try to help somebody who might have their house broken into, and people are threatening my life.
Yeah, when you call 911, you don't expect to be broadcast worldwide for a week
and
over and over again.
The fact is, that is going to make it much more difficult for people to make those kind of calls in the future. Do you really want to put yourself through that? If you screwed up like that and made that call and they came after you and threatened your life, she didn't go to work for a day. I mean, she didn't want to go outside the house because of the way people were treating her, because she thought as a citizen she was doing something good for whoever lived in that house. That's right. That's awful. All right, we're done. We'll do it again on Monday. Have a great week. All right, that's it. We're done.
I thought we had one of those recorded things, and then
What do you mean it's Let's Go?
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is at the end of another edition of Lanigan and Malone. Blake Business Products providing us with the Ken and Facts, the best coffee and more, Southwest Cafe, Gourmet Coffee House, and Eatery in Parma. Bagels and more from Panera Breads and Bakery, Cleveland, Akron, Canton. Our Lady of the Waysides car donation program, helping children and adults with disabilities. And Conrad's Fire Express and Total Car Care Centers. That's
Conrad's.
The views and opinions expressed on the program, those of the participants, and not necessarily those of WM. MJI, our management or sponsors.
So,
well done, well done. Until we're back again tomorrow with another big, 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 big lineup.
Actually, it'll be next week when we come back. And we'll have Daniel Silva to talk about his book, The Defector. Also, Jacqueline Mayer, former Miss America from 1963. We're going to talk to have Morning Show Feud. Crocker Park will be here to take on Chip Cooler. And one of our favorite comedians, Tommy Blaze, he's appearing at the Funny Stop. He'll be stopping by. Doug Kratner, restaurant critic for Scene Magazine. Ronald Kessler, author of In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. And then, of course, General Tony Zini to talk about his book, Leading the Charge, and Dr. Eugene Sanders, Back to School Time.
Okay, good stuff.
Anything?
Don't forget also I want to do it for Lenny, the British Car Day is Saturday, August the 1st. We'll have individuals as part of that whole thing, and they're going to have their incredible Vinity cut ring out there, $3,000 diamond. They're going to auction off to help people, and it's hundreds and hundreds of amazing cars. Just an amazing display of cars, all held on the campus of Ursuline College in Pepper Pike from 9 to 4 on Saturday. So I hope you go out, take a look at all they have to offer. You'll have a great time, and it should be a great great event all the way around. That's it.
Excellent.
Can't think of anything
else. All right. Then the view, we already said that part, so up next, Chuck.
So, who's here next week?
Everybody except me.
You're
Trace is here, and Chip is here next
Chip's
week.
Chip's here next week.
Yeah.
You're gone for the whole week?
Yeah.
Oh, where are you going?
Don't know.
You don't know?
Well, things have not worked out. I don't want to get into details, but my schedule doesn't have...
Things have not worked out?
You're
freedom. You're starting your vacation today.
I know, but I don't have the freedom to do what I want to do right now.
So you don't have the freedom?
Kind of like up in the air.
You've been arrested?
No, not that. I mean, I just... obligations sometimes get in the way of sometimes get in the way of what I want to do.
I see. Very good.
But
well, good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope you have fun.
And I'll stay in touch. I'll send you some tweets.
You will not tweet me, and you will not Twitter me.
Yeah.
I don't
you know
do
what's
that.
Going on.
I'm going with Kid Rock. He says he thinks that makes you gay.
Well, think what you want, but okay. I'll still send you a few.
Don't you do it? I don't know how to get them.
All right.
I don't know how to Twitter.
I'll send you email updates throughout the day.
Have a nice vacation wherever you're going.
All right.
And whenever you know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. We're done. We'll do it on Monday.
From America's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city, Cleveland's greatest hits play here in HD at 105.7 FM. And online anytime at WMJI.com. This is WMJI, Cleveland. Magic 105.